Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to thee because thou art the Lord and because we're thy children. We gather in thy presence, in thy house, to hear thy word. We pray thee to grant us to hear it, to truly receive it, and to do it. For Jesus' sake, amen. Some Greeks were among those who went to Jerusalem to worship during the feast. They came to Philip. He was from Bethsaida in Galilee and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to be given great glory. I tell you the truth, a grain of wheat is no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. But if it dies, then it produces many grains. Whoever loves his own life will lose it. Whoever hates his own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am. My Father will honor him who serves me." So endeth the reading of the Word of God. The lesson this morning teaches us that there were those who wanted to meet Jesus. They were serious, conscientious, God-fearing people, and they wanted to get acquainted with Jesus. So we are reminded today that there are those around us who have heard something about Jesus and want to meet him. And that should be a great joy, especially to us who gather here this morning. People now as then hear about Jesus and want to meet him. Notice that these inquiring souls came to those who knew Jesus. We do not know precisely why they came to Philip and Andrew. Perhaps they had a well-known relationship to Greeks. What matters is that men who wanted to see Jesus approached those who knew Jesus because they had lived with him and really knew him. So the text reminds us that there are many earnest people who want to talk about Jesus. They want to speak to us, to hear what we have to say, to learn what we have learned from Jesus. What a wonderful ministry when someone inquires about Jesus and addresses me. Tell me what you know about him. I want to meet him. We do not know whether these particular people ever met Jesus face to face. But it is clear that the word of Jesus goes forth to all who make earnest inquiry about him. He hears their voices and answers them. Blessed are those who accept his call to them, "Follow me." Sometimes I fear Jesus has to yell his call over their heads, over our heads, to those he invites to follow him. It should be the easiest thing in the world for an inquirer to get good directions to Jesus from a preacher or a teacher. But as a matter of fact, the preachers and teachers of Jesus' day had not really seen him. We read in the chapter immediately preceding our text that they were looking for him in order to arrest him. One of the great concerns of my life has been that people will come asking me the way to Jesus, and I will not point out the way. The temptation of some professors is to say, well, take this bibliography, dear fellow, jot down any questions as you read along, and come see me in a few weeks. I'll give you another bibliography, not so modest, when you show up again. Or if the professor has ever had a class in counseling, he may say, when someone asks him about Jesus, well, what do you think about him? A budding theology student did come to me one day when I taught at Southern Seminary in Louisville and asked if I would explain the doctrine of the Trinity to him. I thanked him for his excessive generosity in numbering me among the theologians, and asked him how much time he had to hear my answer, and he looked at his watch and said, oh, I can give you 5 minutes. Now, the temptation of some students, I'm afraid, is to box Jesus into their corner and yell, here he is. But in fact, they may have succeeded only in confining and restricting the real Jesus in a fashion that tends to rob him of his glorious lordship of spiritual freedom that's always beckoning us to larger fellowship and to larger understanding. As we begin this academic year, I hope we will remember as teachers that when inquirers ask us about Jesus, they're not prepared to accept a Jesus substitute, namely us. They want to get from us to him. And as servants of the Lord, there is no greater reward than pointing toward him. Paul Tillich said that one of the greatest paintings of all time is Matthias Grunewald's Crucifixion, where all of the center of attention is upon that ghastly figure on the cross. The suffering for a whole world painted into his body. And I hope that his students, and all of us are students in the kingdom of God, I hope that his students, we will not build up walls so high that Revelation will have to make an end run to get around our theological defenses. The professor-student relationship reminds me at times of a ride on those high-powered speed cars I've seen at the county fairs. The professor locks the student in tightly, shaking the door a bit to be sure he will not fall out. The student grasps the sides of the vehicle so tightly the veins stand up an inch on his hands, his eyes as big as cantaloupes. Then off he soars, engines roaring, bells clanging uphill and dale, and after 3 years gets back, manages to tie himself away from the sides of his theological speed machine, his eyes now big as watermelons. And shaking himself after he gets out, he exclaims, thank God I've got my feet on the ground again. Now, if all of us sit at the feet of Jesus, we will be able in our own experience to say to all who ask to see him come, I have seen him. I will point the way to him. Now, the Greeks who came to meet Jesus did really meet him. But the Jesus they met was much greater than they had imagined. They expected to see a man from Galilee and saw instead the Savior of the world. They heard him speak of dying, of loving life and losing it, of hating life and keeping it, of service and commitment, of service and glory. That is precisely what we learn when we really see Jesus. And when we point others to him, we really see Jesus when we see the man on the cross calling us to the cross, from the cross and to the cross, He draws men of every race and nation. And stripped of our petty piety, so open the sin of the theological right, and our arrogant wisdom, so open the sin of the theological left, we learn at his cross that there we really meet God and ourselves. Through God's wondrous grace, we see Jesus. And the cross becomes the foundation of life, the interpretation of life, the goal of life. My glory, oh, the cross. I know not how that Calvary's cross a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless love has brought God's life to me. When we really see Jesus at the cross, we discover that we see him through faith. He calls us. And we trust in God's work in him. Seeing him on the cross, we see God. And faith becomes a way of living. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, faith is real only where there is obedience. And faith becomes faith only in the act of obedience. And only he who is obedient believes. And only he who believes is obedient. When we really see Jesus at the cross, we learn also that we see him in discipleship. Again, Bonhoeffer said, Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. And Christianity without Christ is always Christianity without discipleship. When we really see Jesus at the cross, we learn also that we see him in service. We learn that life is no longer lived in the old selfish way. Love is placed at the center of our wills, and all our days are given to the claim of God's love upon us as we express it in our love of others. When we really see Jesus on the cross, we become free for the first time. Free to become the sons and daughters of God. And the more we are bound to him by the cross, the more we are set free. Thanks be to God. Men still come looking for Jesus. Thank God they still ask you and me, have you seen him? Can you tell us where he is? We point them to the man on the cross. And he will call them to faith, discipleship, and service. And he will promise them, as he has promised us, that all of us will be with him where he is to behold his glory. Like joyous children, may we be walking thy ways. Our hope in thee. Thank you.
This is all we're needing. Strength, joy, and willingness come with the sight. We would see Jesus dying, risen, pleading. Then welcome day and farewell mortal night. In his name we pray.